Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, as we usually do, we look ahead to the readings for this coming Sunday, March 6th, which will be the fourth Sunday of Lent. The first reading for today is taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 5, verse 9, and then verses 10 to 12. Joshua 5, verse 9. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have removed the reproach of Egypt from you." While the Israelites were encamped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated the Passover on the evening of the 14th of the month. On the day after the Passover, they ate of the produce of the land in the form of unleavened cakes and parched grain. On the same day after the Passover, on which they ate of the produce of the land, the manna ceased. No longer was there manna for the Israelites, who that year ate of the yield of the land of Canaan. Brothers and sisters, God always wants to take care of us. God always wants to provide. But being our usual selfish and sinful selves, we can say, "I don't want that. I want this. I don't like that. I want this." And yet the God of heaven and earth, in so many ways, offers us the food of his word, his body, his blood. And we say, "Thank you, but no thank you. I'll go my own way. I can find my own path." And most of the time we end up helplessly lost. Is there any way in which you're turning away from what God is offering because you'd rather have, God is offering you salmon and you'd rather have steak? Are we turning away from God and from his word and from the nourishment that he wants to give us, the one who clearly knows every moment of our lives until we see him face to face, gives us the food we need, the food for the journey? Are we accepting it? Are we really receiving it? You know how many times when you eat something and you're hungry, but you eat it very, very fast, and you know when you're done, it just sits like a lump for a while. It's too much, too fast into your stomach. Your body has a little difficulty sometimes assimilating it, perhaps because of the kind of food we're eating or the pace at which we're eating it, you know, while we're running. Well, spiritually, there's a bit of an analogy there. Spiritually, "Oh yeah, I read the readings every day." Do you read them? Or do you read them on the run? I just have to read this, and then I can do this, and then I can do that. We're reading so fast that the word really has no opportunity to digest in us. Put God first, and other things will fall into place. Put him first. Psalm 34 says, "Taste and see the goodness of the Lord." But you really have to taste it. You have to spend a little time looking at it in order to be able to absorb, in order to be able to be nourished. So let's taste and see the goodness of the Lord. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth." Is it in you? "Let my soul glory in the Lord," not glory in earthly achievements, but "let my soul glory in the Lord. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name." Do you say that to your friends? "Let's glorify the Lord together. Let us together extol his name." "I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears." I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. For some reason, this responsorial psalm reminds me of a good friend of mine who many years ago lost her husband very suddenly in an accident. And one of the things that she shared with some of us over the coming weeks, as her body, her mind, her spirit just absorbed this incredible earthquake, what else could you call it, that occurred in her life. One of the things that she said to me was, She said the night before the accident, she said, I would just sit in his lap. That's what we did that night. I just sat in his lap in the living room, and we just examined our consciences together, because he was going to go to confession the next morning, which he did. She said, we both just prayed. So she said, I have confidence that he will quickly see his face. That was her great consolation. Could it be yours? Could it be ours? Are you drawing close? You may say, oh, my husband or my wife, we could never do that. You'd be amazed at what you can do when you turn your marriage and your relationship with your spouse over to the Lord. People who are good friends, do you support one another? Do you encourage one another? Do you help one another to follow the Lord more closely? Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Psalm says in another verse, I sought the Lord. He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, that's you and me, that's all of us. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard. And from all his distress, he saved him. We just have to let God save us the way God wants to save us, not the way we want to be saved. And trust yourself to him. The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Brothers and sisters, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting their trespass against them, and entrusting to us, the message of reconciliation. God didn't count our trespass against, what can I say? God looks at us with such love and forgives us so much. My heavens draw near to him. So we are ambassadors for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the truth. This Sunday is really called Laetare Sunday. It's when we pause in the middle of our fasting and our seeking forgiveness from God. We stop and we rejoice. We take a moment. Even the color of the vestments changes for this Sunday. We take a moment to say, right here in the middle of my mistakes, my failures, my sins, my weaknesses, all that kind of thing, God is, and God has had mercy on us, and God comes to us. Think of that in this year of mercy. Rejoice. Rejoice when you look at the vestments. Rejoice and say, God, thank you for having mercy. Thank you for coming to us. Thank you for loving us. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. And the gospel is the very famous gospel, the gospel of Luke chapter 15. It's the iconic gospel for this year of mercy. Brothers and sisters, we're familiar with the passage. Many of us in this year of mercy are familiar with the large picture of the father receiving his prodigal son home. His prodigal son looks a bit battered, but he's coming home right into the arms of his father. That image is real, brothers and sisters. That's what God wants to do with us and for us. Will you open your heart? Will you receive what he has for you? Let's read it. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain. Honest to goodness, all the sinners and tax collectors were known as notorious sinners because they collaborated with the Romans. It was very difficult. And yet he says tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. in their poverty, in their sinfulness, they began to recognize that what Jesus was saying was compelling, and they wanted to listen to him. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Oh, how awful." Do you ever find yourself doing that? The very thing that God has provided, we put our noses up against. You know, we put our noses in the air and try to walk away. "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. "A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me.' So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation." Pretty bad. "When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he comes to destitution. He hired himself to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to feed the pigs. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, finally, sometimes in the midst of our sin, we wake up. 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat, but here am I dying from hunger? I shall get up and go to my father. And I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.'" That's what God wants to do for us. If we can humble ourselves and come back and say, "I've made a mess of everything. I'm sorry. Please forgive me." And God will. But his father, look what his father did. He ordered his servants, "Quickly bring the finest robe and the sandals and the rings, and take the fattened calf, and let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and been found." My goodness, brothers and sisters, look at how God rejoices when we return to him. He isn't going to beat us. He isn't going to condemn us. He's going to receive us and say, "Welcome home." Look at that mercy. Look at the goodness of God. That's what awaits you if you've been away from the Lord for a long time. And then we have, near the end of this gospel, we have the older son coming back and saying, "I've been obedient all my life. I've done everything you ask, and you never killed the fattened calf for me." We are so jealous and envious that older brother can't rejoice in the fact that his brother has returned to God. He can't do it. All he can focus on is, "Well, Father never did that for me." Do you hear the pity mentality? If that you find yourself in that circumstance, just say, "I reject this. God loves me. God would pour and lavish his grace upon me if I return to him, and I'm going to return to him today." May all the graces implied in the gospel be yours, brothers and sisters. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." God bless you.